Today, we speak with one of the stunning homeopaths on my team, Jagoda Salewska. Jagoda is a conventional medical pharmacist turned homeopath who also uses additional skills in her clinics, such as kinesiology. She has helped so many of the clients in our community, and I'm constantly getting messages from clients saying how much they appreciate Jagoda's support and deep knowledge. Jagoda has a special interest in supporting the health and well-being of dogs with homeopathy, as well as supporting people with dental issues and clients with strep throat, UTIs, and other infections. Be sure to join Jagoda's Facebook groups called Homeopathy for Strep Throat, UTI, and Other Infections, as well as another very popular Facebook group called Homeopathy for Teeth. You can book a free 10-minute discovery call with Jagoda at www.eugeniekruger.com and click on bookings. If you'd like to learn more about Jagoda, you can also visit her website at www.jagodahomeopathy.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with my good friend and one of the homeopaths on our team, the lovely, the gorgeous, the vivacious, Jagoda Salewska. Welcome.
Woohoo! Oh, thank you so much. In a while. We tried to plan this for a while, but yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share my story and the things I've been doing so far.
Amazing.
In my journey, yeah.
I was trying to think, how did we end up like even meeting each other? Because it feels like we've known each other forever now, but like what? And it hasn't actually, it's been over a year, but I can't even remember how we first got in touch with each other.
I think originally it was to see in Bali, you know, the property and the clinic.
Yeah, Chokadei. Maybe that was it, eh? Because I went to Bali in July and then I caught up with Jagoda. And then, you know, I decided to organize this Bali conference. And so I caught up with Jagoda again in September. And then Jagoda came over in December to Perth to come to our party we had here. So she was hanging out with us and was in my clinic and stayed over at our place. And so you just feel like part of the family now. So I'm like, how do we? It feels like I've known you forever. But yeah. If I reflected, it actually hasn't been that long. But we speak every week, and myself and the team of five homeopaths, we meet up every Friday, 9 a.m. And it's funny, it's 11 here now. So we've already had our team meeting this morning, but, you know, I get to chat again now. So I think maybe that's why I just love hanging out with you, and I learn from you every time I chat with you, which is...
And likewise, learn a lot as well while in a clinic, and being the party was so amazing. It's just such a great environment when you see that empowering moms are coming and they really want to help their kids and their families with homeopathy, and it was just great. It's quite overwhelming at the same time, but really, really awesome.
Awesome. Jagoda, tell our listeners who don't know you, what's your background and how did you first discover homeopathy?
So I originally, and I'm still a pharmacist by background, and I wanted to really improve or change career as a pharmacist at first, and thinking as a community pharmacist, you help a little bit, but my aim was to really be very into clinical. So from community pharmacist, I went to hospitals and I worked to oncological hospital, general hospital, really wanting to depth my knowledge. I started even clinical diploma, but while doing it, I realized, oh my God, those patients who we see in hospitals, they really don't get so much better. I mean, they are on medications that control their symptoms, but not really getting off the medications. So they actually getting more and more medications, having more and more deeper issues. So while working in hospitals, I realized I want to change. I mean, I always was a pharmacist who would first and foremost recommend you to take vitamin C, garlic, and the rest when you come to me. And I was really strict about things like antibiotics. And I still have this mind that we need to really protect those for really severe states where they are for emergency, not for common things. So then in 2017, actually end of 16, I just decided I'm going to take a career break and I want to see what I can do with my pharmacist experience and start looking into more holistic approaches. So I've done some research. I went to open days and was considering a few things, but homeopathy had something in scientifically at the same time, because it's a medicine, essentially. and also this holistic approach. And I found college. I started to study after short time when I went away and read a book. And I thought, okay, if I read this book and I still feel like this makes sense, I will start studying. So I did. And then I start looking into how I can get experience. And, you know, when you change the career, even within pharmacy, I had to take some time to get experience from being a community pharmacist to become a hospital pharmacist. And it's called shadowing. So you can go and shadow someone from your own profession. And like you sometimes go to the clinic of other more senior homeopath and shadow them and see how they do things. So I thought, okay, I need to do some shadowing, some volunteering. And I applied to 3 homeopathic pharmacists in London. Can you please take me on board? I really need to get my hands on. And they, one of them, Ainsworth at the time, was looking for pharmacists. So I was quite lucky because from starting a college beginning of May, I start working in Ainsworth like end of July. So really just at the beginning of my studies, but being there, it really gave me a great exposure to remedies, how you make the remedies and everything else. So I had the fast track in a way, in that sense. Yeah, I finished my college and I took another career break at the time, traveling around Asia to see how I'm going to implement that new experience into my practice. It didn't take that long when I came back that I really wanted to start practicing, but then we had a pandemic. So I had the opportunity to go back to Ainsworth and help them out during that time, which was really, really intense time, but at the same time, also so much learning about all of this was going on and helping people who are really struggling and not having anyone or, you know, access was limited to things. So they were calling Ainsworth and we really, really helped so many people with their anxiety and just generally with supporting them on so many levels. And at that point, I really wanted to start practicing on my own. And since I was in Bali and other places in Asia in 2019, I really wanted to come back to Bali. And at some point, I realized I just want to start my own journey within practice. So I left London, I left Ainsworth, and I went to live around Europe at the time. But Bali was there, and then there was a big pull to come when I started to study here with Chokede Transformational Alchemy course, which incorporates many things, not only homeopathy, but also herbal medications, herbal tinctures and spagyrics, also something called kinesiology, which is muscle testing, and having the diagnostic tool just enrich my practice. And I'm in Bali and practicing online, which allows me to be anywhere. I mean, Bali is fantastic to live and I really enjoy being here and seeing patients from US, from Europe, from anywhere, from Australia as well. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell, my story from the past 6 years.
And I just want to say Ainsworth, for those who don't know, is actually appointed by the British royal family, right?
Yes. We were serving Queen at the time. Now I believe they're serving King. So yeah, it's one of those places that can help royal family when they meet.
That is really impressive. That's really impressive. Now, tell us a little bit about animals as well, because you see patients all over the world, but you also see doggies all over the world. And that was also when you joined our team. I was just so grateful that you treat doggies, because in our little Facebook group, every single day there are people posting, you know, wanting help for their dogs. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to specialize in that area as well. And what is it that you enjoy about that? And what sort of things do you commonly see?
Well, so animals, they can be easy and not easy to treat in a way, but I'm an animal lover. So dogs and cats as well. It's about sensing things from animals a lot. So when I got the tool of kinesiology, I thought, how great that would be to help those who cannot really say what they feel. When I start looking into and studying the conditions of the animals, I was like, okay, they are not so very different from what we treat in humans. A lot of them, like skin problems, digestive problems, anxiety problems, you name it. I mean, teeth problems, ear problems. Yes, we can all relate to those. It's just about knowing different remedies and also how the dogs behave. And it's based on observation of the owner. I found it very rewarding when you can help. Having a kinesiology, it allowed me to connect with the dog and be kind of more successful with the treatment. So treating things which sometimes are related, unfortunately, to medications as well, post vaccinations, lots of skin problems in dogs. It's kind of amusing because it's not only what we give to the dogs, but also from environments. So sometimes even walking in a park where they spray a lot of chemicals, glyphosate, that can cause allergic reactions in the dogs. And being a homeopath is like being a detective, you know that. So we kind of get into the details and then go around and see what could be a cause. And then addressing, obviously, the cause is the key here. So it's all the same rules applies to animals. It's really amazing how easy and in a way, how they quickly react to the remedies as well. And there's no bias here because they don't know what we're giving them. So whoever says that there's a placebo effect, the dog will not know if they're getting real medication or not.
Exactly. And what sort of questions, like for doggy consults, what are the types of things that you'll ask the person? Also, do you do it off photos or do you physically need to see, you know, the dog in the background while you're doing the consultation? Or what sort of information do you request from people?
I like to see the dog during the consultation, but then I use the photographs of the dogs. So I always want to know a little bit of the background story, like obviously any medical procedures, any medications that were used. Their personality is important as well to know if they are fearful, how they behave with strangers, what's their kind of habits and what they like, what they don't. Are they thirsty? Are they not? Are they hot? Anything what you would ask the just normal person as well. And how they, if they want to eat a lot or not. Are they playful? Do they like to swim or not? And all this builds up a little personality, kind of constitutional personality picture of the dog. Based on that, I look at specific remedies also for the condition, which, as I mentioned, can be very similar to what we treat in humans. And then we work on the constitutional level as well as the specific remedies for the whatever is happening at the time, supporting liver, supporting sometimes kidneys. It all depends during the shock, because the shock can also be something that started the condition in a dog.
And you've also managed to get loads of experience with being on the Homeopathy 24/7 team for quite a while now. And you're always on there helping people and supporting people and seeing clients all over the whole world. So, I mean, how incredible that you can have this career where you're sitting in beautiful Bali and you get to make impact all over the world by helping people and animals. I mean, that's pretty freaking cool.
Yes, that's also mind-blowing in a way. Like, we can work and help people who are so far away. And sometimes they say, I'm in the future, they're in the past, 14 hours behind my time or something. So there's a little joke about that. And yes, it's a great impact you can make every now and again. I think how I can change my approach and what else I can do. And just recently I came up, okay, we're going to talk about the teeth because it's something I also like to help with. And specializing in the teeth started when I watched the movie. I don't know if you've seen The Root Cause.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's an amazing documentary about the root canals and how it's a very gray area in the dentistry, I might to say. It's my opinion, obviously. Everyone can have their own. But it's something we don't know much about as a patient. And not necessarily we are informed about everything, what it takes or what might be a consequence.
Mm.
So that documentary really explains greatly how, in a way, the need or really wanting to save a tooth, something that becomes dead, essentially, if it cannot be healed, became a trend. Both long-term conditions in a patient's and often very deep pathological states might occur due to that. And that was my first encounter of the teeth. And then I start looking into and how everything in the body is connected with the teeth. So every single tube is connected with specific meridians and specific internal organs, where all of this can be either because of the organ is taxed by toxicity, but also emotions that are stored in that organ. So there are often problems with molars, and top molars would be a connection with the lungs and large intestine. Yeah. So looking into the organ and then relating that back to, or vice versa, what do you need to work first? Do you need to first release emotions from the organs or have support on a physical level of the organs? Because often we see that a lot in teeth group, that there is nothing wrong with the tooth per se. The dentist cannot tell that something is wrong with the tooth. And then there is pain, there's sensitivity, there's something making a patient uncomfortable. So that's why it's so important to look on both sides rather than just looking into one thing. No? Oh, yeah, that's a great meridian chart you're just showing.
I've just shared screen here for those of us listening in on Rumble or YouTube that you can see the tooth meridian chart. But if you just type in meridians and teeth, it should come up. And there's a few different ones online, but it will tell you which tooth is related to which organ. And that is actually a very important piece of information. And your homeopathy for teeth Facebook group, it's got something like 17,000 people or 18,000 people now. What are you up to now?
Yeah. It's close to 18,000, I think, now.
And wow.
We get hundreds and hundreds of people every week. And it's really amusing in a way, like how much problems of the teeth we see, especially in kids. And working with kids is a great way of, you know, preventing with the baby teeth already. Mm. Preventing that to become a problem in their adulthood. But at the same time, it's like you wonder why there's so much problems with the teeth those days. And is it the food, which I'm sure it plays a big role in the whole thing, because otherwise it's like, why would you have so much issues with the teeth? I mean, it generation by generation, things getting more weaker. And in the past, the teeth was something what was an indication of your health, and still is. It's just we don't think about that this way anymore, but it might be not a great example, but the horse or everything was judged by the state of the teeth. So we might see this progression because of, unfortunately, Western way of living, having lots of processed foods. And not necessarily that child might eat that. And the child might be super raised, super healthy, but we need to look at the history of the parents, of the grandparents as well, what was going on, what medication they were on, and slowly help with each of that layer. And often we use miasmatic remedies in treatment as well to clear the susceptibility and what was going on with their teeth in the parents or grandparents to help the adult to become more strong and more healthy. And it's possible, but it's a process. Yeah, it's not overnight. The teeth, they are not bones, but they are like bones. It takes time, yeah, to regenerate, to remineralize the teeth. And we often see questions about cavities, about discoloration and abscesses. And all of this can be supported with homeopathy, but it takes some time. We do see miracles. We do. And those miracles, for example, happen in injuries where within a space of 3-4 weeks, you can really save a tooth which was injured with the ball or some other accident. And I had the cases as well where child hit a front tooth and the dentist was like, yeah, it can go either way. You can die, but it's not given. And having remedies like arnica and hypericum for a good few weeks could save your tooth alongside other remedies. So yeah, but also having a multiple approach to the teeth where minerals like cell salts are important and other vitamins that we often don't talk about, but if you don't have a good sort of building blocks, so you're missing some vitamins, you're deficient on vitamin D or zinc or all sorts of other things. If there is not enough fruit, so there's not enough vitamin C, they're all might impact how we heal generally, and it also is affected by that. So, yeah, it's looking at the whole person in a way, working with teeth and working with the process, essentially, you know, rebalancing the body to heal itself.
You've just reminded me to put my strong teeth mix into my water bottle because I have this tooth. I've mentioned it on the podcast multiple times, but it should have been pulled 8 years ago. I was told by Sanctuary Dental in Auckland over 8 years ago that the tooth needs to come out because I wasn't going to have a root canal. And then about 4 years ago or so, I was told by another dentist. Well, actually, what I should backtrack. I managed to then use homeopathic, created this remedy called Strong Teeth Mix. And it's got tissue salts in it, calcfos, calcfluor, calcarbon, silica, and just like a 6x potency. And so I just hammered that. I took that a lot. And then I changed my diet up. I was having lots of chicken livers and bone broths and things like that. And then also having xylitol after meals and just making sure I'm having lots of water and rinsing my mouth after I've eaten. Because there were two books that really made a huge impact in my life. One is Healing Tooth Decay Naturally by Ramiel Nagel. And another one is Kiss Your Dentist Goodbye by Dr. Ali Phillips. And they come from two different points of view, which I really like because Ramiel Nagel keeps on harping on, it's all in the gut. It's all in the gut. You need to have lots of chicken livers and lots of fat-soluble vitamins and lots of good fats and things like that to help the teeth. Whereas Kiss Your Dentist Goodbye comes from a different angle. It's the fact that she's a dentist and she says your teeth are bathed in your saliva 24/7. So if your saliva is acidic, it's going to be pulling calcium from your teeth to neutralize the pH of your saliva. So I think these two books work together really well because you need to get both of them right. And so between all of that, using xylitol and, you know, using charcoal, bentonite clay type toothpaste, and then having this strong teeth mix in my water bottle, I've managed to keep that tooth in my mouth for 8 years. And then funny enough, on New Year's Day this year, this tooth, just bits of it broke off. And went to the dentist once again for the third time, mentally preparing myself, this tooth's going to get pulled. But this dentist is amazing. He was like, no, I can fix it for you. So he has, but it's a little bit painful. And so I've been doing the oil pulling and I'm back onto my strong teeth mix. And it's just when I get a little bit slack, but this tooth is here. I just don't, if it wasn't for homeopathists, it would have been pulled a very, very long time ago. So I'm very grateful for the help homeopathy has given me. But I quickly want to mention, I've just recently listened to an amazing podcast. It's called Red Pill Your Health Cast, and they have an episode there on biodentistry or something like that it's called, which was so, so, so interesting. And they just talk a lot about the palate and the tongue function. And she mentioned two things in there, which I didn't know about. One was that she talked something about the flow of minerals through the teeth or there's some other flow through the teeth. And she said it always cycles from inside to outside. But there's two times in your life during puberty and when you're pregnant, when it goes the reverse. So the bacteria and stuff are pulled from the mouth through the teeth and then through the pulp and stuff. I'm probably like butchering this whole explanation, but just go listen to that episode. But I thought that was really interesting because it's so important that we are aware of this and that we let our teenagers and our pregnant mums know that it's more important than ever that they have good dental care during puberty and when they're pregnant. Because you do get these mums that joke, you know, I've lost a this tooth was what I lost with Johnny and this tooth I lost with Susie and this tooth I lost with so-and-so because our dental needs change during pregnancy. And that's where homeopathy can be really great. And just being aware that, you know, apparently your saliva is more acidic when you're pregnant. So you do need to be more careful that you are having some water or some xylitol or something after a meal to neutralize that pH and have your strong teeth mix in your water bottle every day. And these, and medications during pregnancy, how that can affect the development of the child's teeth.
Yes. And early childhood as well, you know, antibiotics specifically, they can really put in danger the development of the teeth. Unfortunately, some of them, because when they affect the liver, they do affect essentially other organs, other things as well, like teeth. But that's amazing what you were saying about that. I need to look into that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that podcast, actually. It's really, really good. And you've also written a ebook on teeth as well, which actually one of my clients emailed me yesterday. She's like, I've been reading Yagoda's book. I really like it. And I actually learned this and this. So she actually queried me on some things based on, you know, what she got some ideas for how it can help her based on your book, which I thought was really nice. But how do people get hold of that?
They can download for free from either my website or Homeopathy 247 website. So it's a free book which can help you through dental surgery in a preparation before. There are remedies that you can use before surgery, and emerald is one of those remedies that can really make extraction really smooth, and even some wisdom teeth that difficult to pull, they can really benefit from that. and anxiety, anticipation. I just actually started a few weeks ago a new series, and first and foremost was the anticipation, because some patients are really even scared to sit down on that dental chair. So having homeopathy on hand, I mean, there are at least 8 main remedies, but there are so many others possibilities to support you emotionally beforehand. It can lower your levels of stress. And then when you are not so stressed, your body reacts differently to the trauma itself. Trauma, let's say, or rather intervention you're having. So having those, and then there are things you can use if there is procedure, very, very long procedure, during the procedure, like magnesia phosphorica, even a little bit in your water, you rinse your mouth with during, like, let's say, few hours procedure, which helps with the muscles, because obviously muscles get cramping and painful. The jaw becomes painful when it needs to be open so long. And there are certain procedures that take so long, no? Then aftercare is so important, and things like hypericum, calendula for pain and healing, and things for bleeding. So it really depends how the procedure goes. There can be different remedies. I mean, I value arnica as well in certain circumstances. I know there are different opinions if you use arnica or not around surgeries, but I think in dental surgery, we do use arnica after the procedure. So yeah, and hypericum calendula is another one that can be really, really helpful, and can, I mean, the dentists often follow the protocols, and obviously that's also my personal opinion, but not everyone would need antibiotics post procedures, post extraction, where that's just a protocol. And often the dentist would not really assess individually if you are capable of keeping your mouth really clean and sterile in a way. But I just recently had a patient, and there was wisdom tooth extraction, and we managed without antibiotics, everything with the remedies. So it's about the awareness and making those conscious choices in a way that, you know, okay, I might take them in case that would start infection, but I want to manage without. And that's, I think, the choice we should have, not just following, okay, that's a part of the protocol, I need to take them.
I'm with you on that one. Just when you mentioned about the babies before as well, there's so many babies that are given antibiotics prophylactically at birth instead of just monitoring and giving it when necessary. So, you know, but the flow-on effect of that on the overall health, like you said, the teeth, the gut, everything else, like it's just not worth the price doing it prophylactically. But I understand why they do it, because, you know, short on resources and things like that. So it's better just to give everyone antibiotics prophylactically rather than monitoring them closely and keeping an eye on them and using it for emergency only. But it's a shame.
Yeah, we need to think that things are standardized in a way, yeah, in a medical care. And then they will do protocol, and then they would think, okay, because based on X amount of cases, we rather follow this protocol. But like with homeopathy, we are so individual. Yeah, we look at the individual symptoms. We want to tailor everything to your need. And the same way, I wish doctors would start thinking, okay, maybe, let's say, 50% of my patient, because of this risk or that, they cannot really deal without, but 50% can. But just informing and empowering patients to be able to manage their health in a different way, like naturally, it's so important, I think.
I mean, Sally, I had that emerald 1M in my handbag ready when I went for the doctor's appointment after I spoke with you on the first. And that's why I love our little group, hey, because, you know, just pop in there, hey, guys, this has happened. What can I do? And it was lovely that you gave me those suggestions. I'm so glad I didn't need the emerald, but my son's going to need to have a baby tooth extracted soon because of the palate not being wide or whatnot. So the baby teeth are not falling out easily enough. And so, yeah, it's going to have it extracted because it's just not coming out by itself. But I'll definitely, I'm glad you've said that about the emerald, because I'm going to for sure use that. And so that's why also it's such a good idea to have a relationship with a homeopath, right? So any of these little things pop up and, you know, you can just check in with them and see how they go. I just want to know how you get around to admining all these groups, because you're, you know, you are always helping out in my Facebook group as well for our mums in Australia. You've got the homeopathy 24/7. You've got your teeth one. You've got so many consults as well. Like, how do you do it all? Lots of meditation and yoga.
Yeah, lots of meditation, yoga, and not so much recently. I mean, it's a personal thing, but I had this motorbike accident, so I still cannot do yoga. But I'm healing well with homeopathy again. And well, it's about finding specific times for everything, yeah? And just doing things, I think multitasking in a way. While doing one thing, you also oversee other things. Yeah. I also manage strep and throat and UTI, another infection group, which also is a kind of...
I didn't even know about that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I wrote the ebook as well on that. I didn't send it.
No, how did I not know about that? Okay, that's cool.
So lots of recurring strep throat infections as well, which you think lots of going on here, no, around throat chakra, mouth in children. And that's another thing that often happens, that they want to remove the tonsils, which is a battle when there is, let's say, strep throat or a tonsillitis a few times a year. But again, homeopathy can be so, so helpful in a recurring or this chronic actually state of inflammation, which we help with the remedies, but also with the diet changes. Mm. I mean, lots of things like dairy products can inflame. You know, educating mothers that unfortunately they cannot keep giving milk to children. Yeah. They cannot keep giving dairy and cheese and yogurts, which all great, but okay, not yogurt, but use the kefir. At least it's fermented, and maybe not cow milk. There are so many now plant-based alternatives, or goat if the child likes. But yeah, so many things I want to help with. So I try to allocate my time, lots of time during the day, to do those various activities and be there to support patients on their journey, essentially.
You just quickly snuck in there about the accident, but we need to actually like just talk about that for a second, because your healing has been nothing short of miraculous. I couldn't believe when you sent us that photo of your face was just completely smashed up on the one side there. And it feels like it was just a week or so later, and anybody looking at you on YouTube right now would never know that just a week ago your face was all in scabs. You just look perfect. So just tell us a little bit about that and your healing journey and how you've used homeopathy alongside a few other things as well.
Yes, so homeopathy was the first thing I asked for. It was unfortunate me going inexperienced rider in Bali, thinking that I can go on a bike, but ended up in a ditch road. And because of I had a helmet, but the visor was open. My part of my face got scratched and all over here. But yeah, so emergency remedies, which became like my first thing to go, was arnica, and lots of arnica, lots of ruta, grab, lots of aconite as well at first. But other things which...
Ruta grab for the ankle?
Yes, that was for my ankle. And other things which we not really commonly use, but you can use them as well, like adrenaline, endorphins. I didn't take a single painkiller. They didn't offer in the first place. I would probably say no then, but then the first night was terrible, and using that in a homeopathic form really saved my life.
Oh, that's interesting, like endorphin and homeopathic potency. Oh, interesting.
Yes. And then gradually there were other remedies also to support healing, like calendula and symphytum for the bone and rustox. Also at some point I included phosphoric salts, like 5-phos it's called. Phos and a few others. So yeah, and I was also surprised how quickly this healed, because you often get that scab and then it starts bleeding. But it's just really.
It's unbelievable, because when I saw that happen, because I wanted to create this little reel of all of us in the team, you know, where we like pass each other a little remedy and then you injured your face. And I'm like, oh man, we're going to have to wait a month now for Yagura to heal up so we can do this reel. Just as, you know, as a like joke. Obviously, you know, my main concern was your well-being, just anyone, in case anyone thinks I'm a cold-hearted, you know, B-I-T-C-H. But I couldn't believe it. In fact, then I was like, oh, it was so quick. Now we have to get this reel done now. I was hoping I had a bit more time. But your healing has been nothing short of miraculous. It's been incredible to watch the journey. And we know homeopathy works. We know it's incredible. But still, when we witness it ourselves, it never ceases to amaze me. That's why I always say I'm the biggest homeopathic skeptic. Every time I prescribe a remedy for somebody, I give it to myself or my kids or our dog at the moment who's got a humongous wound, which I can't wait to create a reel from the photos over the past week of how beautifully his wound has healed up. Every time it happens, I'm still blown away. I never cease to be amazed by the healing power of homeopathy.
Yeah, it is. And your energy levels can change throughout that time. I mean, I'm still healing a little bit my ankle, which will take some more time because I twisted 3 times. Wow. But I'm giving myself time, and we often want to do shortcuts, no? In whatever happens. But we cannot forget that also, you know, a rest, which is so obvious, but not often followed, and giving yourself time for the remedies to work. If you are rested and relaxed, it's just amazing. But they work very quickly. And yeah, I was amazed as well, doing photos of myself every day.
Yeah.
My God, this is amazing progress. I'm not swollen anymore after 2 days. So.
You were so respectful of the healing process, like you said, because you blocked out, you know, you canceled your clients and you took that time to rest. You got somebody else in to help with the healing process as well and to give you support. And, you know, like you honored the journey of healing, which I think also is why, you know, you didn't push it. You were like, okay, I need to rest now. And you did that. And you did all the right natural medicine things, which is why I think also testament to the beautiful healing journey that you've had, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, we always need to think as well, what's the message here? I mean, like, why did it happen? I mean, what's the universe is telling me right now? What should I rethink? Yeah, it's a time of reflection and clearing some emotional baggage as well, in a way. And that happened as well during that process. So listening to your body is so essential. And we often, you know, we are too busy and too eager to fix it too quickly. And then, okay, let's just, I don't want to feel this. But actually feeling it and allowing to you to release that and work on deeper issues. But so we kind of forgot how is to heal ourselves. It's not about rush and magic pills. Homeopathy is great, but it's catalyzing the change. But the change happens within ourselves. And if we allow that change to happen more in a gentle way for ourselves, we can really go into deep things and see a major shift.
Amazing. Now, if people around the world would like to book with you, just to run us all the places that they can find you.
Well, they can, first and foremost, they can find you on your website. I'm part of the Australian team, so you can find me there.
You can go to eugeniakruger.com and then there's a booking link and you can book a free session with Jagoda to have a chat first. But you also have your own website, jagodahomeopathy.com.
Yes, I have my own website, jagodahomeopathy.com. I'm often on Homeopathy 247. For the Facebook acute states especially, and Ask Homeopath is one of the Facebook groups managed by Homeopathy 247. So yeah, all of those places are possible,
and the Homeopathy for Teeth Facebook group, and that other one you said, what's it called, strep and UTI or what,
strep pro UTI and other infections
group. Cool, amazing. Is there any final message that you want to leave our listeners with, Jagoda?
So my final message is that homeopathy can be an amazing journey, healing journey. This process can be very long, very short, but it's about listening to your own needs and your own body. We often want to focus on one specific thing. Oh, it's just this, but it's never just this. We need to look at the whole picture of the person, and that allows us to connect things, because everything is in a way connected. It's not this or that. I mean, we kind of program to think like this. I have only problem with this or that. But looking at the whole person allows to big transformation within our health. And that's sometimes scary. And that's something we need to put aside time, some money as well. But it's an investment in a way. It's an investment in your health, investment in your well-being where you can achieve levels of health you haven't had even in the past. Mm. And that's amazing because I feel like in my late 30s, I felt better than in my late 20s. And that's due to using homeopathy. Mm. So yeah, I would just, whoever wants to use homeopathy really and experience fully is about that. It's about that full journey in a way.
Mm, I love that. Now, I will see you again on next Friday and every Friday after that until I get to see you again in person in September in Bali for our Unleashing Homeopathy conference, which I'm so...
When are you going to be here before that?
Huh? Am I? Oh, I don't know. I'll see if I can squeeze in a quick little trip across the ditch. It'll be... I might do, but I will definitely see you in September.
Yes. September will be amazing. Unleashing Homeopathy conference. I really look forward.
Me too. I just cannot wait. I can't believe we're already in February. Hey, like this episode's probably going to go out around March somewhere, but it's like it'll be September before you know it.
So cool. It's first month of the year.
It's so quick. It was always the case though. Alrighty, beautiful. I will chat with you very soon. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with our listeners today and giving them hope that they can heal their teeth and their doggies and their strep and everything else in between.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great pleasure and privilege to share my story, my experiences, and yeah, personal, really. Thank you so much. And look forward to meeting you somewhere.
See you.
Bye. I mean, bye.